Wow, that was awesome. I don't know, man, that was amazing, amazing. What a great way to be able to walk into this conversation. And for those of you that I haven't had the chance to meet, my name's Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. Today's an exciting day for us because, as Dana said, we're starting this brand new conversation called What Am I Here For? And for the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into what I believe is the most important question of our lives, a question that I think every single one of us has asked, a question that for some of you, maybe you think that you've found the answer to, but I think for many of us, it's a question that we continue to struggle with. And maybe you thought you found the answer. And oftentimes in life, I think that's true. But then something happens and we begin to wonder. Because there are a lot of different ways that we try to answer this question, and a lot of different directions that this question takes us. And so for some of you, you thought you found the answer because you met her. And it was amazing. And you thought, this is it. This is why I'm here. But then it didn't work out exactly the way that you thought. It's amazing all the different ways that we try to find an answer to this question. It's really interesting to see how this is playing out inside of culture right now, because if you pay attention to what's happening in terms of leadership and what's being written about leadership and what's happening inside of corporate America, the thing that people are talking about all the time now is purpose. You've got to figure out how to be able to provide your employees with purpose. As a matter of fact, a recent article in Forbes said, employees need purpose more than pay to be happy and productive. We said, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find purpose in our job. And we're going to create jobs and careers where you have purpose. Have you tried that? I sometimes try it with what I do. And if it doesn't work out with what I do, I'm telling you, it's not going to work out with what you do. But we try to find it in our career. But the problem is, and really this is true with just about all the different things that we try to find it in, the problem is that our careers, well, they're temporary, and they come and go, and we loved that job, and it was meaningful, but then that job didn't work out, or we decided to go in a different direction, which some of you decide to do every year, and that relationship didn't work out. We try to find it in all these different things, our accomplishments or what we're going to accumulate. And this is what it's all about. But the problem is that you get it and it's not what you thought. I don't know if you guys have heard of the rapper NF, but he has this amazing song where he's talking about how he finally got everything that he wanted, and he finally made the millions, and he finally made it to the top of the charts, and he looked around and he thought, this is not at all what I thought. We pursue it in all these different ways, but they're lacking. And it's interesting to me. It's very interesting to me why they're lacking and why we know that they're lacking. Have you ever taken the time to think about why it is that those purposes are insufficient for you?
Why, even when you got that job and you thought it was gonna be enough, why is it insufficient?
I think part of it is because of what we're created for, but I think there's another aspect to it as well, and it's very interesting to me because I have conversations with people all the time about God, obviously. You would expect that of me, I'm sure. And one of the things that people frequently tell me is that they don't believe in God, and I ask them why. Their answer is almost always the same. It has something to do with the fact that, you know, I look at the world, and when I see the pain in the world and I see the brokenness in the world, I can't possibly believe that there's a God, which is exactly why you struggle with purpose, because here's the thing. When you look at what you're living for and then you compare it to the pain, you say to yourself, it's insufficient. If the purpose is career, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not a big enough purpose for what it is that we experience. And the pain and the brokenness in the world, it's not enough. It's an insufficient purpose compared to our experience. And so we seek and we go in all these different directions trying to figure this out. Some of you, you've come to the point where you've just kind of given up. It's interesting inside of our culture right now. This is becoming more and more a reality that we're just coming to the point where we're just saying there is no purpose. When you look at the statistics, it's shocking. Overdoses in the United States doubled from 2007 to 2017. Did you know that? The opioid crisis is not just about doctors who prescribe pills. It's about a culture that's looking at the world and we're looking at it and saying there's no purpose. And when we compare the purpose to the pain, well, they're not, it doesn't weigh out. Which is why that song that Dana sang is so incredibly popular. Because it resonates. It resonates with us, and there's something inside of us that says there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this. It's absolutely, without a doubt, the most important question in our lives. And as we've encountered it, we have a problem. Because we can't figure out why in the world am I here? But I think actually that the problem is a little bit bigger than that. I actually don't think that that's the question that you should start with. I actually don't think that it's necessarily the question that we start with. As I walk through this, even in my own life, I realize that it's the wrong question. And I know some of you are thinking, well, Chris, you kind of made it the question for the series. Why'd you... And I think it's an important question. I think it's one of the most important questions in our lives, but I don't necessarily think it's the question that we should start with. Because I don't think the fundamental question is, what am I here for? I think the fundamental question is, what is this whole thing here for? I think it's bigger than that. I think it's a question not just of what my purpose is. Do I have a purpose? But then there's a bigger question, which is, does this whole thing have a purpose? And it's interesting to me because as I work through this in my life, I realize that I struggle not just with my own purpose, but I have this really interesting struggle with whether or not God has a purpose.
Whether or not the whole story has a purpose. And I realize that in my life, I live most of my life like God doesn't actually have a purpose. Like the story doesn't actually have a purpose. And I think, even for those of us who are following God, I think for many of us, we don't really think that God has a purpose. In other words, we don't necessarily think that God is going somewhere. Let me ask you something. When you look at the story, where's God going? Do you think that God's going somewhere? Do you think that God is doing something? Do you think that God has a purpose? And I began to have conversations with people just kind of here and there about it. Like, okay, what is it that God wants? And people would say to me things like, well, you know, God wants for people to be good. Well, is that a purpose? Like, is that a mission? It wasn't active. It was more like, well, God's kind of done what God's done, and then he's just kind of hoping that people treat each other well, and he wants for things to get better. And God, he wants for people to believe in him. And there's kind of this idea that God at one time was doing something, and then he kind of did what he was going to do, and now he's just kind of waiting. And even as we talk about Jesus coming back, and for those of you who are kind of engaging this journey with us, we believe not only that Jesus makes it possible for us to step into a relationship with him, but we believe that one day he's going to put an end to evil, and he's going to come back, and he's going to restore this whole thing. But even when it comes to that, as I engage people about it, and I think even sometimes myself, I think that God's just kind of waiting, and he's almost winging it of when he's going to come back. And it's like, Jesus actually says to his disciples, he says to them, listen, I don't even know when the Father's going to put an end to this. I don't know when I'm going to come back. And I think some of us, we think that that means that it's like undecided. That it's just up, like, well, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Who knows? We're just winging it. And we have this idea that God's just kind of standing back, and then maybe he moves kind of here and there, and he's doing different things here and there, but this idea that God is moving towards something is not something that I think most of us engage God with, or engage the story with, or engage the world with. But I think as God steps into our lives, he actually presents us with something very different, and I think it's incredibly important. Because as God steps into our lives, and Jesus says, listen, you know, I don't know, but he doesn't say that it's not known. He just says he doesn't know. The Father does know. And God steps into our lives, and he presents us with a very different picture. What I want to do for the next couple of weeks is we're going to dive into the book of Ephesians. And as we dive into the book of Ephesians, especially the first couple chapters, but we're going to kind of move throughout the entire book as we walk through the next couple of weeks. What I want to do is I want to show you how God uses Paul as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, how God uses Paul to shift the way that they think about life, to shift not just the way that they think about their story, but to shift the way that they think about the entire story. Because I think the problem is not just how I think about my purpose, but I think a massive problem is how we think about God's purpose. I want to take you to the beginning of the book of Ephesians, and I'm just going to highlight some certain things, some specific things as we walk through the beginning of this, because I want for you to be able to see how Paul is beginning to introduce this at the beginning of his letter. Now, for those of you who don't know who Paul is an individual who comes to know Christ after Christ has returned. Christ impacts his life in this amazing, literally life-changing way. Paul despised Christianity. He wanted nothing to do with Christianity. He was trying to destroy Christianity. Jesus steps into his life. Everything changes, and then Paul begins to take the message of Jesus to the entire Roman Empire. And so he takes it to this place called Ephesus, which was a major trading center. He actually spent a couple years there. There's a church that begins to thrive there, and then Paul's writing to them after he's left them, and he's talking to them. Really, throughout this letter, it's an interesting letter because of the fact that in this letter, most of Paul's letters, he's kind of he's addressing an error in some way, shape, or form inside of the church. As he's writing to this church, he's not addressing an error. He's really just helping them understand better the fullness of what God has made possible in their life and how to be able to step into that. And so what I want us to do as we work through this letter is for us to be able to see that. So I'm going to start off, we're going to jump in Ephesians chapter 1, and it says this. He's just celebrating as he starts off. So he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then he starts, and he's going to talk like this a lot. He says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." Here, one of the most fundamental things that you need to understand as you're on this journey with us, we begin to talk about purpose, is that for God, this story is not something that's just happening. For God, this story is not something that crept up on him, like he didn't see it coming. It wasn't that God set this thing in motion and then, you know, it took a turn that he didn't expect. No. He says, no, you have to understand something. Before the creation of the world, God decided he was going to do something. God decided he was going to accomplish something. Not before you were born, not like a couple years ago. For some of you, it's longer than others. But not like before you were born, but before the creation of the world, before he did anything, he decided, no, I have a purpose, I have a plan. And he continues. Listen to how he works through this. He says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted." We're going to come back to this next week and talk about the power of this, just how amazing it is. But he says, no, even before he set anything in motion, before he set anything in motion, he chose for you to be able to be part of his family. He says, "For us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Go back. Right? We're going to focus in on this a lot, okay? He says, accordance with his pleasure and will, right? Here, he's talking about, as he uses this word will, he's talking about his plan. He's talking about his purpose. He's talking about what it is that he's going to accomplish. He's going to use that word a couple different times as he walks through this. He says, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us and the one he loves." And then he begins to talk about what Jesus has done for us. And some of you are new to this journey and you're exploring what Jesus has done, and you think, well, this relationship with God, it's about me being good enough to come back to God. That word grace that he just used, it literally means unmerited favor. In other words, there's no way you're going to earn it. So Jesus came and said, "I want you, I'm coming for you." And then it begins to talk about what he's done for us. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." In other words, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of, and there's that word again, God's grace. He says, no, Jesus came so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God, so that we, as we talk about next week, could be adopted. He says, it's all by his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known, listen as he walks through, and he made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, you see this word will right here. It's kind of an interesting thing as you work through scriptures, this idea of God's will, because sometimes it talks about it in terms of, okay, what it is that God wants to happen. Sometimes it talks about it in terms of God's plan, which can be a little bit confusing. Now, not everything that happens on earth is God's will. That's why Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, he says, "I want for you to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when Jesus is talking about that, he's talking about what God wants. But as Paul's writing to them here, he's talking about God's plan, his purpose, what it is that he's doing, what it is that he's accomplishing, right? And he said, and he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven on earth together under one head, even Christ. And he's talking about, he says, and he's working through all of this. He's working through all of this to bring all things together. And there's going to be a time when all of this is going to be fulfilled. And here's the reason why this is really important. Here's the reason why this is really important. Listen. If there's no purpose to the whole story, you have no purpose. If there's no purpose to the whole story, you have no purpose. And if you move into your story, believing God's just kind of winging it and waiting to kind of see what you're going to do and how things are going to work out, and God doesn't really have a plan and God's not really moving towards anything, then you're going to live your life without purpose. But God steps into our lives and he says, no. What? Why would you think that? No, from the very beginning, and all of the scriptural narrative has been trying to teach us this. When you pick up the scriptures and you begin in Genesis, you see God consistently working and moving to accomplish something. That did not stop with Jesus. God is consistently working and moving because God has a plan that he is implementing. God has a purpose that he is working towards. God has a time and a place that he is working towards where he is going to accomplish something. And that is in effect right now here today. It is incredibly important for you to know that in our city today, God has a plan and is working and moving. And God steps into our lives and says, no. This didn't start for me yesterday. I'm not like you. I don't change careers 5 times. I'm not like you. I don't switch plans. I'm not. From before I started the entire thing, I knew what I was going to do. And I have been intentionally working towards it the entire time. And it's far more complicated than we could possibly imagine. I love that when you look at the biblical narrative, all that God does to be able to move from the creation of the world to Jesus, all that God does in order to be able to prepare for that, all that God does in order for that to happen, right? All of that is being worked out, and God's working and moving. And he says, you have to understand, this is who I am. I move with incredible intention. I move with incredible purpose. And he steps into our lives, and Paul's writing to them at Ephesus, and he said, you have to understand this. You have to understand this about God. And here's why this is important. Here's why this is important, because as he continues, a little bit later in chapter 2, he says this. He says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. He's talking about, again, about how we step into this relationship with him and what God has done to make that possible. He says, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then he says this, for we are God's workmanship. This word workmanship, right? I know it's not a word that we use a lot. I don't think you used it at work this past week, but we are God's workmanship. This word right here literally means masterpiece. The exact word that he's using here, it's a word that you would use for artwork. And he says, no, you have to understand something. And he's not talking about us generally. He's talking about you. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, let me just walk us through this real quick. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which God prepared when? A couple years ago, which God prepared which God prepared before the entire story began. God steps into our lives, and this is why it's so important that you understand that God is going somewhere. Because if you don't think that God is going somewhere, you don't think it matters whether or not you embrace this. And some of you, as you read this, you think, oh, well, God just wants me to do good works. No. He's not being general here. He's talking about something specific. He's not saying before this whole thing began, he hoped you'd be a good person. No. The entire context of it is purpose and mission. And he comes to this and he says, no, you have to understand something. God's going somewhere and God is telling a story and God is working towards something and God is executing a plan. And guess what? In order to execute it, he created you. In order to execute it, he created you. You have to understand, God is not winging it. And the mind-blowing part of the whole thing is that God says, I have a plan, so I created you. What? Yeah, I want to accomplish something. So in order to accomplish that, you know what I did? I created you. Some of you are like, you should have created someone else. No. I created you to accomplish it. When it comes to purpose, we make two massive flaws in our own lives. One is we think too much of ourselves, and we think the purpose is going to be about us, and we begin to build a purpose that's all about us. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It's really depressing, because as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, and for those of you who don't know, it's written by an ancient king in the history of the nation of Israel. He's phenomenally, unfathomably wealthy. And he's incredibly wise, and he decides he's going to try to figure out purpose. And God uses him to show us just how stupid it is to try to make ourselves the purpose, because he tries to find it in all these different things. And so he builds massive buildings, and he travels, and he gains all of this wisdom, and he pursues all these different things that will try to make him the purpose. And as you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, again, it's super depressing, because he's like, I tried this, and it was stupid. And I tried this and it was stupid, and then I got this and it was stupid, and then I had like a ton of wives and it was really stupid, and then he walks through all these different things, and the entire time he's like, it doesn't live up to it doesn't matter. And he comes to the end of it, and at the end of it, you know what he says? And he says, so I realize I just have to find my purpose in God's. I realize it's the story's not about me. One of the mistakes we make is that we think way too much of ourselves. But the other mistake that we make is this: we think way too little of ourselves. And some of you think that you don't matter in the plan. It's not what God says. God doesn't just say you were created like as part of the plan. God says you were the plan. Do you understand the difference? Some of you think you were just kind of created as part of the plan, like a tree. And you're just kind of there, and it just look nice, and don't screw it up. God says, no. You weren't just created as part of the plan. You were created as the plan. And together, we're the plan. And you have a role to play in it, and it matters. It matters whether or not we embrace it. We've got to change the way that we think about the entire thing. We've got to change the way that we think about his purpose. We've got to change the way that we think about our own role. And here's the thing about it. And this, as you read through the scriptures, you're not going to find the word purpose a lot. There's another word that you're going to find. That word is called. You're going to hear as you read through inside of the New Testament, which are the scriptures that are written after Jesus, that are written to the church. You're not going to hear them talking about embracing your purpose a lot. You're going to hear them talking about embracing your calling. Because here's the reality of it. God is stepping into your life and he's calling you to embrace your purpose. He's calling you to embrace what it is that he created you for. Listen to, again, Ephesians chapter 1. He says this. He says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order for you to know the hope to which he has called you, in order for you to know the reality. And what is he talking about here? The entire thing, he's not talking about the hope just being about the future and eternity. The entire thing that he's writing to them about is about purpose. And he's saying, listen, I want for the eyes of your heart to be opened. I want for you to be able to see the reality of it, that you're not just created as part of it, but that you are the plan. He says, I want for you to be able to see, and God is calling you into this. God has created you because he's accomplishing something. And before the whole thing started, he said, I'm accomplishing that. I'm working towards this. So I'm going to create you. And I'm going to create you and you and you and you and you. And God has brought you here today because God is stepping into your life and he's calling you. Listen to me. You're here today because God's pursuing you. Because God loves you enough to not just let you continue to live the story thinking it's about you. Because God loves you enough not to let you continue living the story thinking there's no point, there's no purpose. And God is stepping into your life and he's calling you. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We have something to do. We have something to accomplish. And from before this entire thing started, I planned to do it through you. The question is, will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? What are you going to do with your life? You're going to continue to try to build your own little story, see how big it can get? Or are you going to answer the call to be a part of something that was started before this whole thing started, before this whole thing began? Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to walk through this. We're going to look at how we embrace that, how we answer that call in our lives, how we step into and embrace our responsibility inside of that plan. But here's the thing. Sunday is not enough. It's not even close. I tell you that all the time, and that's kind of an insult to me. So you should take it seriously. But Sunday is not enough. You need to walk through this with us. You need to walk through this inside a community. And so what I want for you to do, I want for every single one of us as we walk through this, I want for you to walk through this with someone else. Do not seek alone. Do not search alone. And so what I want for you to do right now, if you are not currently inside of a group, I want for you to pull out your phone. If you've downloaded the app, you can do it there. Otherwise, you can go to our website, hobocongrace.com. None of you are pulling out your phones. I'm serious. Pull out your phone. I know you're not all in groups. I know how many people are in groups. We have 91 groups. And I know for sure there are some of you aren't in groups yet. Pull out that phone. As you log into the app there, or as you open the app, you're going to see join a group. Then you're going to be able to see men's groups, women's groups, married couples groups, groups with childcare, all sorts of different kinds of groups. Some of you are like, some of you have been using every excuse. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There are a million excuses out there not to be able to find your place in the plan. And you say, I'm too busy. You are too busy for a lot of things in your life. You're not too busy to answer this question. Dodgeball can wait. Find a group. I know it's for some of you, it's the first time jumping in a group. You're nervous. It's going to be amazing. You're nervous for all the wrong reasons. They're not weird. It's the people who are sitting right around you right now. So these groups have been together forever. No, they haven't. We just reset all of our groups. Get connected to a group. When you show up for a group, we've got a free study guide for you this week. It'll be available for you. Your leaders are going to have it for you at group. They'll be prepared for you. But the other thing that you need, the other thing that you need is a copy of What Am I Here For? And we have the books out in the lobby. Now, here's the thing. If you've been coming to Hoboken Grace, I have been giving out these books free to first-time guests for 12 years. We've given them out for free to first-time guests for 12 years because we think this is one of the most important questions in your life. But some of you didn't listen when we told you to fill out your connection card and go to a connection point. And so you missed out on it. Now, some of you received a book called Purpose Driven Life. It's the same book. I know it's purple. This one's white. It's the same book. They just put a new cover on it. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. But for those of you who didn't listen, we have the books for sale in the entryway, and you can pick up a book there. Also, on your Kindle, you can get it. Now, here's the thing. If you are here with us today for the first time, you get it for free. And so if you go to one of those connection points, we actually moved them from the hallways to in here. They're right in the back there. If you go to one of those connection points, you're going to be able to get that book for free right there. So make sure that you do that. And what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is we're going to be reading through that book. We're going to be inside of our groups. The kids are going to be studying upstairs. All of us are going to be working on one thing. How do we make sure? How do we make sure that we embrace our place in the plan? Do not live another day thinking that you don't matter. You have no idea. You have no idea how God wants to use you and what God wants to do in your life. Will you answer the call? Will you pray with me? Father, we are completely amazed. I'm just constantly blown away, Dad, by the fact that you didn't just create us to be part of it. You created us as part of it. And Father, I pray for every single person here. I pray that you right now would begin to build in them an unrelenting desire, an unrelenting passion to know the answer to that question. And Father, I pray that you would begin to open their eyes to the reality of the hope that you created them for, the plan that you created them for. In Jesus' name, amen.